you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning verse 12. All right, turn there. How's your week, men? Good week? Good week? Who all still got a job? Have you thanked the Lord for it? Need to be doing that. Need to be doing that. One thing that I remembered my grandparents saying when I was just a kid, they'd make this statement all the time. They said, "Well, I'm thankful that I got a job." You know, that didn't minister to me back then. But boy, today, you can see around. And I'm telling you, the Lord has had His hand of protection over our congregation in that regard, and we praise Him. We praise Him for that. Today we're going to talk about forgotten Christianity. Forgotten Christianity. You know, in the time of largesse in the United States of America, I mean, uninterrupted prosperity. In those days, I talked to one stockbroker, a friend of mine, one day. And I was asking him how he got into it. He said, "Well, Dusty said, I got into it at the right time." He said, basically, he said, "When I got into it, you could put all the stocks up on a dartboard, blindfold yourself, get a wad of darts, and throw them at the board." He said, "And whatever you hit was going to make money." You know what? It ain't like that today, is it? Not like that. A lot of things are different. A lot of things are different in the world today. The world has changed. Changed around us. Now, hey, I'm not here singing gloom and doom. No, I'm looking at the world as it is. Been keeping up with Ahmadinejad there in Iran. Looks like he lost the election, but it looks like he's going to win it anyway. And it's our fault. How about that? All over the world today, something is happening with Christians that we've experienced very little in this country. Suffering. You think about it. Think about all the places in the world today where Christians are suffering because they're Christian. I mean, if you look at our Voice of the Martyrs, go to the Voice of the Martyrs website, you can see a map of the persecuted church. Here's one right here we put up every week. I'm telling you, this is a brand of Christianity that has been forgotten in this country. Now listen as we work through this passage. In fact, you could almost draw a line after verse 11 in chapter 4 and say, he completed a big idea there. And it's like he's starting almost a new letter. Definitely a new chapter. And in fact, if I'd have been doing the chapter division, by the way, verse and chapter divisions are not inspired by God. That's something that, in fact, in Greek, in the Greek language in which it was originally written, there weren't any periods. They just knew where they were supposed to go. I'd stop it at verse 11. Brand new idea, verse 12. I want to read this to you from New Living. "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through." And every word of this is important. Fiery trials that you're going through. as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad because these trials will make you partners with Christ in His suffering. Well, that'd be enough right there. Partners with Christ in His suffering? That's a form of Christianity not known by the Western church. Partners with Christ in His suffering. What are you talking about? And afterward, you'll have the wonderful joy of sharing His glory when it's displayed in all the world. I believe he's alluding to the second coming of Jesus. Be careful if you're insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God will come upon you. Wait a second. You're insulted, and that persecution attracts the Spirit of God? Woo! We're in virgin territory here for the Western church. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. I remember I was suffering greatly one time because Miss Beverly, sitting over here with her pious look on her face, my mother gave me a spanking. My friends came by and were bemoaning the fact that I was having a little trouble sitting down because I had received a spanking, and I was suffering. But why was I suffering? I wasn't suffering for doing good. You know why I was suffering? That's right, I was bad. She told me to do this. And I said, no, I've got a better idea. I'm going to do this. And for my protection, for my own good, in fact, I'd gone off without telling her where I was going. I was several blocks away. And I remember what one of the kids came by and said, Dusty, you're in trouble. Your mama's looking for you. And boy, is she mad. Now, that's not the kind of suffering I'm talking about. I'm talking about suffering for doing good, for doing what's right. Verse 16. But it's no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His wonderful name. For the time has come for judgment. It must begin first among God's own children. Even if we Christians must be judged, what terrible fate awaits those who have never believed God's good news. If the righteous are barely saved, what chance will the godless and sinners have? So if you're suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right, and trust yourself to the God who made you, for He will never fail you. Let's pray. I praise You, Lord, today for Your Word clear and plain. I'm asking You, Lord, to unveil this truth to us today. Take the words that I will speak, Lord, and God, may You speak through me today. Anything that is not of You today, I'm asking You, Lord, let it fall to the ground and not be remembered. But every syllable that is of the Spirit of God, let it stick to us like glue today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Forgotten Christianity. Point number one. Suffering is a normal part of the Christian life. Key word there in this point, normal. Just think about it. When we think about suffering in the Western church, we think about that as something that is abnormal. something other. That's not how a Chinese Christian would think today. That's not how an Iranian Christian would think today. That is not how a Saudi Christian would think today. That is not how a North Korean Christian would think today. And the list goes on and on and on. You can have the shopping list of all these beliefs. When they think of living the Christian life, they think of suffering is normal. Don't be surprised when fiery trials. Now, this is a circular letter that Peter was writing. A number of people were going to receive this. Number of churches spread out in different areas. So, as he's writing this, it is his assumption in his mind and heart that he is addressing a lot of people who were suffering because of who they had trusted their lives to. That it was a common thing of life, not abnormal. And he's talking about fiery trials. And the picture here is of a fire. It's a beautiful picture of a fire that comes in to purify something, to burn away the dross, to burn away that which is not the pure of that substance. That's his picture here. It's beautiful. Every word mounted on the next word is so important. Fiery trial that we're going through that draw you closer to Christ. Normal part. Secondly, verse 13. Suffering does not produce character. It reveals it. They'd be very glad because these trials will make you partners with Christ in suffering. There's been a lot of teaching from years back. Oh, suffering, adversity will produce character in your life. That is wrong. You got to go back a step before that. What the adversity, what suffering does, is reveal what's there. Imagine that suffering or adversity are the fingers that and the hands that squeeze you. Have you felt squeezed by adversity, by suffering before? Are you tracking with me? Well, when you get squeezed, what's on the inside does what? Comes out. Here you go. It reveals what's inside. Oh, you can pretend all day long. Got a great walk with Jesus. But how about when you suffer? How close is that wall? Well, I belong to Jesus. Till the shots start being fired. Till suffering comes. I belong to Jesus. Till at your job, it starts costing you to belong to Jesus. Remember Daniel? We read about in early service today. It cost Daniel a lot. He had to lay it all on the line. Number three. Blessing can, operative word there, can come from suffering. Verse 14. Be happy if you're insulted for being a Christian. For then the glorious Spirit of God will come upon you. Blessing can come from suffering if we allow it to come. If we embrace the suffering, embrace what is going on, embrace the fact that we are at war in the earth. with the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a battle going on. There's a battle for our hearts and lives. It's a battle for who we are, for what we believe, for our values in the world. And just think about it for just a minute. All the people in the world right now, and I've already mentioned one of them, Mr. Ahmadinejad. I mean, I can show you the quotes and speeches he's made. He wants you, what? Dead. He wants you at room temperature. Why? You get to the end of it? Because you belong to Jesus. Because you're a Christian. Or in his case, if you're a Jew. Just on the basis of that. But see, if we embrace that in our lives and allow God and say, Lord, I need your help here. I'm suffering. Come. Do you see how that becomes an invitation to the Spirit of God to come in power, to come in presence, to do something in your life that you can't do? Maybe you had a plan B before. Tell you what suffering is doing around the world today. It's eliminating all the plan B's out there. Because there's only one name that you can call out to. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They're not alternate routes. It's either all Jesus or it's not. Okay, number four. Suffering does have a purpose. Verse 15. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, prying in other people's affairs. I already made this point. Not suffering because you've been stupid in the name of Jesus. You've been sinful. I want to give my mama credit on one thing right now. Many things, but I've had an attraction to fire all of my life. I learned how to build fires. I love fire. I love to see things burn. I was the fire marshal for my school in fourth grade, by the way. Had a badge and everything. Remember that? Why they would put the fox in charge of the hen house, I don't know. But they'd tell me, don't play with fire. It was a winter day on 59th Street, and back in the day before it was paved, dirt road there, and people were burning their leaves by oak leaves. I'll never forget it because it's very hot. We'll get to that part in just a second. And they would burn these, and you know how the leaves burn down, and it has kind of a covering over it? But actually what that is under that is an oven that's very hot. How in these black and white shoes? I remember these shoes very, very vividly because I stuck one of them in the fire to kick it. And one of those hot, a bunch of hot ashes about that big got on my instep right here on right there. I still have the scar from that. And I'm jumping around. I know people in the house have thought, oh, Dusty's just happy to be here, you know? Out here he's doing a dance. He's got the Holy Ghost or something. And the first thing that came to my mind was I was hearing those words. Don't play with. Don't play with fire because you get burned. Now, later on, I got a strong lesson that God made that suffering for a purpose. I never did that again after that. God uses suffering in our lives to purify. to remove all other agendas and to draw us closer to Him. We allow. Next point. Suffering eliminates the prosperity gospel. Now, let me say this to you at the very beginning. I believe in God's blessing. That God will come and bless you, and He'll do great and marvelous things in your life if you let Him. But there was a down part of this in our culture that never mentioned the fact of suffering that comes. And our brothers and sisters around the world who were serving Jesus and seeing people come to Jesus were looking at this and saying, you know, this is a part of that's not a part of your life. You don't understand what it is to suffer. Let me ask you, did Jesus suffer? Did His disciples suffer? Has every generation suffered? You need to be careful, careful about a gospel that does not have room for suffering. And see, in our country for the longest time, people could say, oh yeah, look at all the blessing that has come. Well now, not as many people are saying that. And they're asking the question. Next point. Suffering is both a privilege and an affirmation. It's no shame to suffer for being a Christian. In fact, I had one guy tell me one time, in fact, several said, well, these bad things, this suffering that's coming into your life is because you've been disobedient to God. Tell that to Jesus. Tell that to Paul. Tell that to the disciples. Tell that to Daniel. Go through the list. No. It becomes a privilege. Look at Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Hebrew children there. As they gave themselves to the Lord and they counted it as a privilege to serve God. Do the will and purpose of God in their life. And it was an affirmation of who they belong to. That's something that suffering kind of thins out those that are sitting on the fence, doesn't it? I don't remember where it was in one of those mass shootings where one of the gunmen said, which of you are Christians? Remember that? And one of those kids stood up and said, I am, and lost their life. Because of it. You know something that's not in doubt today about that young person? Who they belong to. Because click, click. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. An affirmation. Number 7. God is watching over our lives and He's going to evaluate us accordingly. Time has come for judgment. And it begins, first of all, in the household of God. Now, literally is what that says. The oikos, the oikonomos of God. His household, the people of God. It's not talking about a building, which, by the way, time out. Let me say this to you. Yes, in 2 weeks from today, we're going to be in some building. But you know what? That is not the church. It will never be the church. In fact, on the sign out front, it's going to say, the meeting place of. That's all it is. Someone said, you own that? I said, no. We're just the stewards of it for right now. Because God may decide to just take it out of our hands. Do you understand me? So when He speaks here, of the God's own children. That's the household of God. God begins with discipline at His own house, with His own people, in His own family. That's where the discipline begins. He doesn't begin it out there. You know, we pray these prayers, burn them down, Lord. burn them down. Now, don't look at me like you've never said that under your breath. There are several of you super spirituals. I know you're looking at me and saying, no, I've never said anything like that. You know, it's kind of like those cartoons where it has a little bubble up above the little circles where you're not saying it out loud. God sees that. He knows what you're thinking. You've thought it. Burn them down. But where's God want to start? Before you go getting the toothpick out of somebody else's eye, let's deal with that telephone pole that's in my eye. Let's deal with it. He said it begins here. And he's not basing this that there's a salvation of work. Because then he goes on to say, if even we Christians must be judged, he's talking about judging our works, things that we do. We're getting this another day, but there will be rewards in heaven. Now, the Scripture talks about making it in by the skin of your teeth. It is by the grace and mercy of Jesus that we get to go to heaven. No merit on our part. It is not 99% Jesus and 1% us. It is 100% Jesus. That's the only way we get there. But there are rewards that come. That's what he's talking about. Judgment upon the house of God. And sifting his body. And he makes the point, if it's tough for us, look at all those who don't believe. What's in store for them? Where are people headed without Jesus? That's right. That's what the Bible says. Do we really believe that? Is there an urgency about our life? God is watching over us, and He will evaluate us accordingly. Number 8. Those separated from Christ have no hope without Him. No hope. They must have Jesus. They don't need a self-improvement program. They don't need, I turn over a new leaf. They don't need a club or a program to be a member of. They need a person. They need an intervention, a spiritual encounter with the one and only who sent His unique one and only Son to this earth. They need Jesus. First and foremost. The only. They're not alternate routes. He's the only way. He's the truth and He's the life. They need Jesus today. It's simple. It's not complicated. They need Jesus. Last point. God's working His plan in your life, even in suffering. Now, let's read this verse again. If you're suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what's right. What does the evil one whisper in your ear when suffering comes in your Christian life? Well, let me give you a few that he's whispered to me. You're serving Jesus. This is what you're getting. Look what I could give you. Or, you know, this is just way too complicated. Why don't you just chunk it all? Or, you know, this persecution thing doesn't feel very good right now. You don't have to give Him all your allegiance. You can just give Him most of it. Are you following me here? It's kind of like he's telling you, as he's got you on top of the Empire State Building, well, you can just take a short step off of the building. Now, I've been on top of that thing, and I've looked down. There's no in-between step. Do you see that? The devil is a liar and the father of lies, and he'll tell you anything to get you away from Jesus. God's working his plan in your life, even through suffering. Keep on doing what's right. Trust yourself to God who made you, for he will never fail. What did Jesus say in Matthew 28? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. He'll be with you. Nobody else can make that claim to you. He loves you. Are you experiencing any suffering in your life because you belong to Jesus? Somebody making fun of you? Get passed over for something at the office because you're a Christian and there are certain principles you have? Maybe you won't sleep with everybody in the office to work your way up the ladder. Maybe you won't compromise. Maybe they want you to look the other way when someone's doctoring the book. Am I speaking anything here that's going on? I guarantee it's going on. To whom do you belong? After you decide that, I'm with you, Jesus, and your purpose in the earth. And what is his purpose? That all men, women, boys, and girls will spend eternity with him in heaven. He wants to have a relationship with everybody. Imagine this, that even your suffering can point somebody to Jesus. If they see you're willing to suffer and pay the price, they might just say, you know, this Jesus must be real. Is he to you? I don't know what's going to happen in our world and in our country, but I can tell you what I feel in my heart. I feel right now that there's going to be more challenges to our faith. Because there already are. Lord, I thank you for speaking to us through your word today. Lord, a sober message, a forgotten gospel, a forgotten Christianity. And Lord, today we're not purporting a sadistic form of Christianity that enjoys suffering. But no, Lord, today we're saying we're offering ourselves to you as broken bread and poured out wine to be your servants in the earth. Whatever you require, Lord Jesus, we humble ourselves before you. Lord, if there's anyone here who has never received Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives, I pray today, God, that they would accept you as personal Savior right now. Ask you to come into their lives, forgive them, and make them new people. Lord, all of us, God, I'm praying for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to fill us with power, with the joy of the Christian life. Lord, I am just amazed by the Chinese Christians who suffer with joy in their heart. And I bless you today for what you're doing in the earth. Thank you for choosing us to live at this time. Lord, as we open the altar, as we open this ministry time, we pray, Holy Spirit of God, you would come. Lord, if there are those here today who desire to be healed physically, God, we pray for them right now that you would come and touch their body. Lord, for those of us who are on the bubble with our job, we're asking you, God, that you would grant favor, that you would move in power, but overall, God, that your purposes in the earth would be accomplished. We ask you to do that now in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come right now. In the name of Jesus. Pastors, life group leaders, you would take your places. The altar is open. Come. This is your time with God. Look this way, if you will. We hadn't gotten your card yet. We need to get your card from you, your prayer card. If you have an offering to bring, you can bring it on now. We're about to pray for our folks at, going to camp. How many folks are going to camp? All right. Keep your hands up, those that are going to camp. All right? Now, somebody go lay hands on these people that are going to camp, okay? Let's pray for them. Hey, Brother Dane. When you get a minute. Here's our camp director. He's going to pray for us.
Let's pray. Father God, we lift this up before you. Lord, the week, Lord, you have ordained it. Lord, you're going to meet with us. Lord, I think first and foremost, God, we are gathering for your glory and your honor. Lord, we gather and asking that not that the presence of Jesus will be there, but Lord, that presence of Jesus will be active and moving. God, the desire of my heart every year is that, Lord, we'll be different the Sunday after camp than we were the Sunday before camp. Lord, we're not going, Lord, just to have something to do. Lord, we're praying that we'll meet with you. Lord, protect us and our families. Lord, we know that, God, the evil one will not just sit idly by and let this gathering take place. So protect the travels and the in-between stuff, Lord. God, I thank you for this time and this place that we're going to be gathering. Lord, I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you today, Lord. Change our hearts and our minds. You know, God, help us to be intimate with you over the next few days. Lord, we bless you.